last week, again, God reminding his people that if they would repent and come back to him, he would welcome them. He would show mercy upon them. And here God is reminding Israel that he is such a patient and loving God, and he's willing to redeem his people. So beginning in verse 1 of Hosea 7 this evening, the Bible says, "When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts, that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make the king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners. For they have made ready their heart like an oven. Whilst they lie in wait, their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and I devoured their judges, and their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. The pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. When they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I will chastise them as their congregation hath heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt." So as God said there, "Though I have redeemed them." Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Use it now to teach us and speak to each one of us through it, and we thank you for it and for its power, and we pray you be pleased in our service and guide us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you can see, God watches us. God cares about our behavior, doesn't he? He cares about our sin. He cares when we aren't serving him, when we aren't putting him first. And that was true for Israel. Israel was God's chosen people, his children. And as you can see, they just didn't consider it important, as he said there in verse 2. They consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. They don't just stop and consider that God cares when we sin. And it's true for you and I as well. When we sin, it grieves God. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And we got to get it right. And God is saying to Israel, "You've been disobeying my commands, my clear commands. You need to get right with me." You know, the Bible says, "You've sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out." Numbers 32:23. It's so true. Psalm 98, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." God sees every sin. And sin hinders our fellowship with the Lord. And Israel needed to learn this. Go to Isaiah 59, please. That sin hinders our fellowship. God here uses the word separate. Notice verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You see what it says there in verse 2? Your iniquities have separated. And that's what he's been trying to get across to Israel. Your sins have hindered our fellowship. And that is true for Christians as well. And Israel wouldn't consider as he says there in verse 2, they won't consider in their hearts that I remember their wickedness. And I'm waiting for them to repent. I'm waiting for them to come back. How many times does God have to cry out to them and say, return, come back to me, and I'll forgive you? And he says the same to us. If you'll just confess it, what? He's faithful and just to forgive, because that's God. But he says there in verse 2, now their own doings have beset them about. Most of the trouble we find ourselves in when it comes to chastisement is self-imposed, isn't it? And that's what it says here. Their own doings have put them where they are. Go to Jeremiah 2, verse 19, and we'll see this as well. But a lot of our problems are self-induced because of our disobedience. Because the Bible says you reap what you sow. Notice Jeremiah 2, 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. So do you see what God is saying here? Your own wickedness causes problems. Your own backslidings reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that thy fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. How many of our problems are self-induced because of sin? And that's what he's saying to Israel. They won't consider the sin, the disobedience. They won't stop and think that I see all of this, and I'm waiting for them to consider and, of course, to repent. And now they're going through all of this grief because of their own sin. They've brought it upon themselves, essentially. So down in verse 7 of our passage, it says, they're all hot as an oven, have devoured their judges, all their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. When we're not right with God, we don't pray like we should, do we? It's just the way it works. Israel wouldn't consider in their hearts, as he says in verse 2, that God knew their wickedness. He was waiting for them to repent. He was waiting for them to come back. And notice he says, and because of that, they're not calling unto me. I'm waiting for them to pray. And even we as Christians, we don't pray like we should when our hearts aren't right, when we're living in sin. It's the same. God's waiting for us to be honest. Go to Psalm 145, verse 18. I'll show you this. When we get down on our knees to pray, do you know what God wants more than anything? Is honesty. Honesty about the sin that he's pointing out through the Holy Spirit, through his word. Honesty about where we stand with him in our fellowship. He just wants us to be honest. Notice Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him. For those last two words, in truth. When we get on our knees and pray as if everything's fine, but we know there's sin we haven't dealt with, that's not in truth, is it? That's essentially praying a lie. And that's what God is saying about Israel. They're not calling on me because they won't get right. They won't consider that I know about their sin, and I'm waiting for them to get right with me so that we can have sweet fellowship together again. And it's the same with Christians. So back to our passage, it talks about Ephraim here, which is another name for Israel. He says, he hath mixed himself among the people. Part of the problem with Israel is they had disobeyed God in not separating from the wicked Gentile nations around them. That was part of the commands that they had disobeyed. They had disobeyed many of the commands, but that was one of them, was mingling among the heathen. And then in verse 10, and the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, they do not return to the Lord. So look in verse 2. They consider not in their hearts. Verse 7, they don't call on me. And then verse 10, they won't return. That's the progression, isn't it? It has to start with acknowledging the sin and that God sees the sin. God cares that there's sin. And then repenting, coming back, calling upon the Lord, asking for his forgiveness. And then what? Returning. That's what repentance is, isn't it? The Bible, we'll go to Proverbs 28 and verse 13, and we'll see this, but it's the confess and the forsake. Those two things go together. Proverbs 28, 13. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect. We keep making mistakes, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't stop repenting and forsaking. Notice 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and what? Forsaketh. It's both. Shall have mercy. He says, you won't consider in your hearts that you've sinned against me. You won't therefore call on me and you won't return. Which again is the theme of Hosea. We've seen that multiple times. Chapter 14, verse 1, O Israel, look what he says, return unto the Lord. The most common, important word in Hosea is the word turn or return. And God spent 14 chapters saying, come back. Please come back before it's too late. Judgment is coming. The captivity is coming. Please return, return, return. But Israel, they wouldn't consider in their hearts about the sin that God knew of. They wouldn't call upon the Lord. They wouldn't return unto the Lord. Look at verse 10. Nor seek him. We don't seek God when we're living in sin, do we? No, because we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And we're instead seeking our own pleasures, or just to satisfy self, to satisfy the old man. But we're definitely not seeking the Lord. This is a progression. Recognize that you have sin and bring it to me, he says. Call unto me, return unto me, and what? Seek me. You shall seek the Lord and find him when you shall search for him with all your heart, the Bible says in Isaiah 55. That doesn't happen as long as there's sin blocking that fellowship, causing that hindrance. Remember, we saw that in Isaiah 59. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And nothing affects the sweet fellowship with the Lord like sin. And Israel would not recognize it. Instead, he's rebuking them. In verse 8, he says they've mixed among the people. In verse 11, he says they're like a silly dove without a heart. They call to Egypt. So they're mingling with the heathen, and instead of calling unto me for help, they're calling unto Egypt for help. They're seeking earthly help. And don't we do the same thing when we're not right with God? We seek the wisdom from man rather than the wisdom from God. We seek help from man rather than help from God. Same with Israel. So notice he says in verse 12, when they shall go, I will spread my net upon them. I will bring them down to the fowls of the heaven. Look at these next four words. I will chastise them. God doesn't say this to the lost of today, but he does say it to his children. And Israel were God's chosen children. He says, I will chastise them. It's coming. And Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He says, I will always chase them when you need it, so that you will repent. And as we've seen throughout the book, return unto the Lord. So verse 13, woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed it against me, though I have redeemed them. If we take that and say this is also picturing you and I, which it can, what does that say? God has redeemed us. Hallelujah. He's bought us back from the devil and from sin with the blood of Jesus Christ. But do we still sometimes, as we saw in verse 1, commit falsehood? Yep. Do we still sometimes, as it says in verse 8, mix among the people, among the unsaved? Yep. Do we still sometimes, as it says in verse 11, call to Egypt? Called a man for help rather than the Lord. Yep. Verse 13, do we still flee from the Lord? Verse 13, do we still sometimes speak lies? Yes. Though he's redeemed us. He says, though I've redeemed you, you've committed all these sins. You've run from me. You've turned your back on me. You're not listening to me. You're not seeking me. You're not calling unto me. Even though I know about all the sin. So verse 2, they've considered not in their hearts that I remember. Verse 7, I want them to call to me. Verse 10, I want them to return to me. Verse 10, I want them to seek me. But look at verse 14, and they've not cried unto me with their heart. That's called repentance. A genuine cry. That's where it always begins. If you go to Psalm 78, we'll see an example from Israel of a non-genuine cry. And this isn't what God is looking for. God's looking for a genuine repentance, a genuine acknowledgement of our wickedness and how it affects Him in His holiness and how He wants us to get right. But look at Psalm 78 down to verse 34. When He slew them, then they sought Him. And they returned and inquired early after God, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Well, that's all good, isn't it? Look at the next verse. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. So it sounded good at first. I mean, here we have them returning and inquiring and remembering. But God says, nevertheless, they flattered Him with their mouth. They said all the right things, but they didn't get right. Don't let the devil trick you into that. When it comes time to return to the Lord, we need to do it. Go to Psalm 119, verse 2. We need to do it with our whole heart. Psalm 119. And look at verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with what? The whole heart. This is what God has been asking Israel to do. I want you to seek me with your whole heart. I don't want any fake repentance. I want you to truly get right. I want you to consider that I see your sin. And I want you to call unto me and return and seek me. But as He says in verse 14, I want you to cry to me with your heart. I want you to give me your whole heart. I want you to acknowledge your sin and come to me with all your heart. Go to Jeremiah 29:13 and we'll see it again. Jeremiah 29:13. What's it say? Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with some of your heart. That's not what it says, is it? When you shall search for me with all your heart. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways in James chapter 1, verse 8. That's not what God's after. God's after us to get right with our whole heart. To truly repent, to truly consider that He hates sin and that it's affecting our fellowship, and to call and return and seek Him. But as it says there in verse 14, cry unto Him with our heart, with our whole heart. But verse 14, the end of the verse, they rebel against me. How sad. Verse 15, at the end of the verse, they imagine mischief against me. I keep sending my prophets to warn them, to beg them to return, and they just keep sinning. Therefore, verse 12, I will chastise them. And God loves us enough to chastise us if we need it. Amen. And He has redeemed us. As He said, though I've redeemed them, though I've been so good to them, though I brought them out of Egypt and blessed them and gave them a nation, they still keep sinning. And I've been so patient, but the chastisement is coming. And He says the same with us. I've redeemed you, given you a new life. And as a good Heavenly Father, He will chastise us if we need it. Though He's redeemed us, that doesn't mean we have a license to go off and live in sin. God won't allow it in His children. He just won't allow it. So we can learn so much from Israel this chapter, can't we? We need to consider in our hearts when the Holy Spirit points out sin, and we need to repent genuinely, confess and forsake it, and call unto the Lord, get on our knees, and call on Him with our whole heart and get right with Him. And avoid what could come. which is the chastisement. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for teaching.